Well, here we are at Dupuis Restaurant in Abbeville, Louisiana. It is May 14th, and I'm going to let my informants introduce themselves. But first, before we do, I just want to get on the recording here that it's okay for me to interview you about the history of Dupuis Restaurant and its involvement in the oyster industry, and that we have your blessing to make this information available to researchers both at LSU and at the university in Lafayette. And if at any time you want me to stop, or you know, you need to turn attention to something else, just tell me, we'll stop and we'll pick it up again when at your convenience. So, any rate, if I can get you to start off by giving your name and your date of birth and your association with the restaurant.
My name is Jody Hebert. I was born 11-6-72 in Abbeville, Louisiana. And I'm also the owner of Dupuis Oyster Shop.
Okay. Now, Jay, do you want to...
My name is Jay Thornhill. I'm the manager. I've been here almost 4 years. I was born in September 30th, 1973. I was born actually in California. My dad's from Winnsboro, Louisiana, which is just a little bit below Monroe there. And I've been in Lafayette now for about 10 years. And that's it.
Okay. Now, the restaurant has been around since 1869,
That's correct. It started off by Joseph Dupuis back in 1869, which was handed over from generations to family.
Well, it's interesting that he went into the restaurant business because it wasn't, according to the Abbeville paper, and the papers that we have, apparently people from here had been going down on the coast to get seafood periodically. But the fact that you don't see much information before the Civil War about people actually bringing it up, you know, for consumption, at least not in this area. I know along by La Force they did. What made him decide to open a restaurant?
I'm really not sure of that history of it, but from what I've heard, when he started out, he had a boat here docked in the back, and he would take the Vermilion River, go all the way down to the base of to the natural reef that they had back there, and he would dredge it himself, put them on the boat, come back up the river, you know, and then of course shuck them and sell them to the public here for 5 cents a dozen. Mm-hmm. You know, until eventually it came up, you know, where they wanted more and more and more, and they started getting into other seafood items back. Mm-hmm. You know, from what I was told. Yeah.
And this was originally this was Main Street that we're on here, and the City Wharf. And I don't know this, but from what I've been told by people here in town, the City Wharf was about two doors down right there. And because of where Abbeville was located at the time, lack of interstates and so forth, that was the commerce in this town was run off of the river. And so, being that this is located right here, it was kind of the central point of the region. And so that's why the restaurant was here, and why he was able to generate business, because everyone came to the wharf.
Right.
That's what, they didn't use the roads, they used the river. And so this was what brought all the people here, and I'm assuming that's why he chose to open up a restaurant here.
And you know, unlike Lafayette, you could navigate this stretch of river year-round. But
right.
Farther north, you could.
No.
It was just too shallow.
Right. Shallow, yeah.
Right.
So he began selling them from the boat along the docks, and then eventually opened up a restaurant here.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any idea what he was selling in the restaurant? When he first started,
I just know it was like pints of oysters and stuff back in the day. It was pints, half gallons, and stuff like that. I knew he had told me some brief history about it. It's been a while. Trying to bring it back to memory, but it's been a while because he died about 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago. And he used to come in and tell me all the stories. So Roland Dupuis himself. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Roland Dupuis would come in, you know, and just tell me stories of, you know, what they would do back in the day and how things were ran and, you know, stuff like that. And from what he was telling me, it started off on the half shell. I mean, just out of the
half shell. So it was basically
an oyster bar, pretty much.
Okay. It's interesting. I noticed there were some other places along by La Force that were also basically seafood restaurants, but they would serve gumbo. Something they call Ironside gumbo, whatever. I have no idea what that actually was.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay.
Either.
When did when did the restaurant here begin to branch out and diversify its menu and to include other items?
I'm sure it started in the 60s, I think. Mm-hmm. By some previous owners, I'm not quite sure of the name, but I do know, well, actually, I want to say it was, they leased it out of the family. They leased the business out of the family to a guy by the name of, I think, Jack Ferris. Mm-hmm. After a while, I want to say in the 70s.
Okay. But they probably added things other than oysters before that, I'm assuming.
I'm not sure. That I don't know. See, I don't know that area. He really hasn't talked too much. He really hasn't told me too much about that era.
Yeah.
You know, it all comes.
I've talked to customers who said that they were eating fried oysters and so forth here 60, 70, one guy 80 years ago. Now, how accurate those memories are, I don't know. But I mean, I've literally talked to, when I first started here, I talked to a man who was almost 90 years old and said he was eating here since he was five. Mm-hmm. Really? So, yeah. So I don't know. Now, he didn't say he was eating fried oysters here. He just said he'd been coming here since he was five. Right. But I think that, I don't know, but I think that the cooked oysters, at least, if not other entrees, started, I think, a while back. I don't know.
Well, it makes sense because I know comparable restaurants in Iberia were beginning to do that, to diversify in the 1920s and 30s, I guess. And I think probably part of that's a result of electricity coming in and refrigeration becoming available.
Right.
And so that they could store other things here besides just oysters. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about how the menu has changed under your regime.
Well, since we bought the place back in May of 2000, and they had a full menu going already, and I pretty much took what they had. And what I've learned over the years is being a chef and working at other different restaurants, put in my technique to it, and the way I was trained and taught how to do it, and brought it to my style of cooking, my Cajun way of cooking it, my style of cooking. And I've added tuna, I've added fresh fish, fresh tuna, fresh fishes, grouper, tilapia, soft shell crabs, just a bunch of array of different other seafoods that you normally don't see on some menus. That we run for specials, nightly specials. And,
some of the pasta dishes.
Dishes too. Mm-hmm. Worked at Italian restaurants, but I mean, just try to influence some Italian and into Cajun cooking too. So, which been over very well. I mean, people love it. I mean, I don't get any complaints about it. But that's pretty much what we've done, imparted to more, some more fresh new ideas that, what we have today.
Mm-hmm. From what I've seen, and I wasn't here, I've never saw the restaurant before it was remodeled the way it is now, but from what I've seen pictures of it, from what I've heard, Jody and Tanya have I hesitate to use the word refined, but prettied it up a bit, I guess. It was a little more cafeteria style before, and generally from talking to customers and from the pictures I've seen, it's a little nicer now. It's still not, it's not like an elitist thing, or it's not a dress code or anything like that. I mean, we get plenty of oilfield guys in here in coveralls, but the appearance overall of the restaurant is a lot nicer now than when it was, and we can show you some pictures.
Okay, now you talked about the controversy about where it was located originally. Has it always been on this site?
As far as we know, yes. As far as we know, it's always been on this site. We have some pictures here.
You can scan these in. Mm-hmm. But this is the 1950s. You can see a location called Ben's Bar, which is right here. And if you look outside, you can see is the oyster shop. This is Dupuy's right here. This is the river.
So this is now the parking lot here?
Yes, that's the parking lot.
That's the parking lot now, okay. Correct. And and then even here in our, and I meant to tell you that you probably should go see this guy too, but
He has a lot of photos. Where is that? If you want to see photos.
Okay. Who is the
coffee service?
Coffee service. Yeah.
And that's
Mr.
Where is
John.
That
John. John, what's his last name?
He puts these calendars together and has been for a couple of years, and I can't find it, Bill.
Which one are you looking for?
The one with,
Ben's Bar. Well, they have here.
This is put together locally, and it's just to show you some of the confusion that
Yeah, that was a lot of confusion.
Even people here. This is obviously this building. And it says the original site of Dupuy's, which you can see from this picture isn't the case, but
mm-hmm. And so, hence the controversy.
Right. But right over here, copy services. After we finish this up, I'll tell you how to get over there. He's been putting these calendars together for a few years. They're historical calendars of Abbeville,
right?
And I think probably surrounding Vermilion Parish.
He might have a few other copies.
It would be great. Because we're also putting together a photographic archive, try to document the whole coastal plain too,
the history of it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now I know that. There was Roland Dupuy and Tita Dupuy. Is that the same?
That was Joseph. Joseph Dupuy was
the original
nicknamed
Mr. Dupuy was Tita Dupuy.
Yeah, he's the one that originally started it back in 1869.
And how long was it in that family? Do you know?
I'm really not sure. I don't know the exact date. But I want to say it took somewhere around the 50s or 60s. It was almost 100 years in the Dupuy family.
It was in the family from 1869 to the 1950s?
Probably.
That long?
I think maybe even a little longer.
Because then the building, then it was leased out to different people.
I don't know how accurate it is. I'm thinking 30 years. Like it's been out of the family for 30 years.
Right. Okay.
So
it's amazing.
Pretty much 100 years or a little more than that.
Right.
More than three generations, almost four.
Right. So it's pretty much, from what we know from here.
Let me ask you a quick question about the availability and the quality of the oysters since the shell dredging took place.
Right.
Do you guys still have a lease out there?
No. One of the previous owners of Dupuy's, apparently from what I heard, let the lease go and just pretty much, I guess, went back to the state or something like that. I don't know who took it over or anything. But
you're not getting oysters directly from a site?
No, not directly out of the water through here anymore. No, this process has been changed.
It's also a little more difficult nowadays.
Yeah, it's much more difficult. Yeah.
We have our hands full running this restaurant. We stay busy and we have a lot going on. With the licensing and the checking up by the Department of Fisheries and so forth to make sure that the oysters are being properly cared for and properly fished and properly kept at the proper temperature and so forth and so on.
Yeah,
it's almost like a whole other business now.
Right.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
so we choose to buy from a wholesaler that ships to us, mm-hmm. bring it to us.
Where they come from?
Pearl Reef Oyster Company. Okay. Here, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but from there, and we usually get them out of Area 7, I think it's...
It seems to depend over the last couple of years. We were getting them from over here, which is way west. This year, we got them from just east of the Mississippi River.
Oh, okay.
So we're still, kind of some of those areas you were talking about earlier.
Right. Because it's that area that used to ship them by rail. There actually was a rail line running through St. Bernard Parish, and they put them on the rail. The cars there, because it was the quickest way to get them to New Orleans, and they shipped them.
This is totally an assumption because I don't know, but I know that this year last year our two storms really hit pretty far west. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that some of these beds over here didn't do so well, and I'm thinking that's why they pulled from farther over here.
Yeah.
Because the storms do have, I know
I
the year Katrina
they
came through.
They weren't as salty. They weren't as salty.
The year Katrina came through, we were pulling them from farther over here, and I think that maybe from year to year the storms have a pretty big effect on the oyster beds as well. And from what I've been told, and I don't know this, it takes a couple of years for a bed to even begin to kind of reestablish itself after a major event like a hurricane.
Well, that makes sense. In areas where there's impoundment and the water stays, it usually takes at least 3 years for it to get back to normal.
So the last few years have brought a pretty active, lot of activity with the hurricanes, and that's affected us to some degree. And price-wise, has affected us as well.
The city here, how much has it been impacted by the storms of the past 3 years? We've been doing some work out in the countryside. We see what's going on with people having to lift homes and so forth. Have you seen much of an influx of people from places like Henry or down in the parish where people
Just from there, but even from volunteer work and construction work and people from all over the country, really. I mean, we have regular customers here that have been here for a year with different organizations, and United Methodist Church and so forth, helping to rebuild. So it's been a real mix of, I don't know, I'm not an economist. I was told that part of the reason we're doing as well as we are right now as a city is that because of the hurricanes, people are rebuilding. And because the rebuilding is going on, the construction is just staying up. Because people won't necessarily build a house in a slow economy, but they're going to rebuild their house in a slow economy. And that construction, I don't know any of this, it's just what I heard, that construction is one of the leading factors as far as your economic development goes. So it's been kind of a blessing in disguise in some ways as far as our economically, because it's brought some money in, and it's brought a lot of work in, and it's brought a lot of people in, and with the people come the money in the business. So sure. it's been almost a positive thing in a lot of ways economically, but I can also say that emotionally it's been devastating. I mean, I literally have sat with people I don't even know and watched them cry in the middle of the restaurant because they just finished rebuilding the house and it just got wiped out again and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I would say definitely both. Emotionally, it's really taken a toll on the people. And you know, it has brought a lot of work, but that work can be kind of a mixed...
Yeah, a double-edged sword.
Yeah, a double-edged sword, exactly. Yeah. So.
Well, guys, is there anything else you want to add?
I think that's okay. I know that there was an article in the National Geographic, I think in the 40s, about the restaurant here. I keep looking for it. I can't get it. If you put your hands on it, it would be awesome.
I'll be happy to make
it
a copy.
It says something about the best bivalves on this side of in the Western Hemisphere, I think it said, or something like that. There was a quote.
There was a quote in the
National Geographic, and some older gentlemen came through, and one of them had been part of that group or something, and he was telling me.
I promise you, if I find it, I'll be
definitely copy. I would really like to get a copy of that.
Okay, well, if it's okay with you, I'll get a scanner, make a quick scan of this, and get out of your hair. And I want to thank you both for your time and sharing your memories and knowledge with us.
If it helps you out.
Okay.
I was looking at the photo book. I don't know if you